live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, investigations are continuing after a young Donegal woman died in a tragic accident in Thailand. It's been claimed that the controversy over the Tory Island ferry could reverse the trend of growth on the island. The government has secured the funds for a €300 million loan scheme to help businesses hit by Brexit. And there are calls for cross-party support to ensure the planned medical school for Derry remains on track. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with PJ Lynch at about 5:15. First in news, investigations are continuing after a young Donegal woman died in a tragic accident in Thailand. 27-year-old Louise Fury from Glenties had been living on the Channel Islands and was holidaying in Thailand when she died after falling from a hotel balcony on Friday. Louise's brother Daniel and one of her sisters are believed to have travelled to Thailand to make arrangements for the return of her remains. Chairman of the Glenties community group, Ryan Carr, said the town will rally behind the family during this difficult time.
The family now that have to, today, probably they're only starting to get some answers and starting to get some progress from here on. You know, it's just, as you said, so far away on the other side of the world, it's just, you know, it makes it even harder that you can't, the family's going to have, we don't know how long it's going to take to get, you know, to repatriate or anything, you know, so it's going to take a while now, and it's just, as I said, we're all in shock and we're all numb. She's such a lovely girl. As I say, when it comes to your own door in your own town, that it's just so hard, it hits so hard. It's so hard to comprehend how things like this can just happen. To have a great big community like that, you know, for something, and as you say, they will rally. Everybody will gather around. They all will, you know, even to help them from between now and until Louise comes home and all into the future. And just at the moment, our thoughts and prayers are with the Fury family. And, you know, they're all going to miss her so much. We're all going to miss her so much around the town.
Meanwhile, 20-year-old Alex McGorty from Sligo died after he was caught up in a flash flood while kayaking in Ecuador. 26-year-old David Higgins from Kerry is among three other kayakers still missing, with a search underway. While in Thailand, a search is underway for Anthony O'Sullivan from Cork, who disappeared in Bangkok around 4 days ago. And a search is also continuing in Vienna in Austria for 21-year-old Ross Hanlon from Athboy in County Meath, who was last seen on Friday. It's been claimed that the controversy over the Tory Island ferry could reverse the trend of growth on the island and return Tory to the depopulation of the 1980s. In a statement issued to Highland Radio today, the island's co-op says if the issue isn't resolved by the end of this week, then it will arrange a protest outside the Dáil. Donal Kavanagh has more.
There's been controversy on Tory since it was announced last year that the current ferry would be replaced with another vessel, the Queen of Arran, from April of this year. Locals claim the current ferry is purpose-built and much better equipped for the notorious Tory Sound, and they say they won't accept a replacement that's 20 years older. The community says five young families have moved to the island over the past 2 years, and the population on Tory is steadily increasing. However, the co-op says if the ferry concerns aren't resolved, people will once again leave the island. Following a meeting on Tory on Friday, the co-op says it's hopeful that Minister of State Joe McHugh, government officials and the new ferry operators will come to a suitable agreement by the end of this week. Otherwise, they say, they'll be forced to protest at Dáil Éireann for the right to a service to which they're entitled.
SDLP leader Colm Eastwood will meet the British and Irish governments this week to present a case for the establishment of a North-South structural fund using monies being repaid to the British Exchequer by the Irish government. Ireland borrowed £3.2 billion during economic crisis and is paying back £42 million every 6 months. Colm Eastwood says some of that money should be redirected into a border bank that would use the money to provide investment for businesses in the border area as a counterbalance to the potential impact of Brexit.
The money has already been borrowed. The money has already been paid back. I've said this to Theresa May directly. I've also said to Leo Varadkar. London should allow that money to be redirected into that fund to be used to protect businesses and the economy around the border. We do know that Britain understands that they're going to have to try to mitigate some of this difficulty coming from Brexit. The European Union has said the same. This is money that's there. It's being paid back. It won't cost anybody any more money than they've already spent. So I think it is an idea well worth exploring.
From the point of view of the British Chancellor and his department, they may have been thinking we'll have this money back in the Exchequer to do with what we will. Will they be happy to divert that money into a separate fund?
Happy or not, I think it's important that they do it. You know, Brexit is a decision that was taken in England. It wasn't a decision taken in Ireland. In fact, people who were asked here voted against it. So this is something that's being done to us, and this is the area most affected by it. We're looking in the area trying to have a city deal to invest in a university, invest in infrastructure. Why not recognise that Derry is the city regional capital of the North West and also invest in Donegal by using this type of money? I think this is a potentially a very beneficial thing for both sides of the border to try to protect against what could be a very dangerous situation.
Meanwhile, the government has secured the funds for a €300 million loan scheme to help businesses hit by Brexit. Loans of between €25 and €1.5 million will be available to companies with less than 500 employees. A government commission study shows that just 16% of SMEs have a contingency plan for Brexit. Business Minister Heather Humphrey says it's important that they begin to plan for the fallout.
Some people think Brexit isn't going to happen, but the reality is we have to prepare for it. And any good business looks at the risks that are presented to them, whether they're internal risks or external risks. And Brexit, of course, is an external risk, and we have to plan for it. And that's the most important thing, is you sit down, you look at the issues, you look at how it's going to impact on your businesses, you identify the risks, and then, of course, you mitigate for those risks.
Sinn Féin Stormont leader Michelle O'Neill has become the first person to declare as a candidate for the deputy leadership of the party. Nominations opened this morning after it was confirmed at the weekend that Mary Lou MacDonald will succeed Gerry Adams as party leader. Miss O'Neill and Donegal deputy Piers Doherty are favourites for the position, although Deputy Doherty has yet to indicate whether or not he will seek the position. Michelle O'Neill confirmed her candidacy on Twitter this morning.
Mary Lou MacDonald is our new president-elect. She is going to be a formidable political leader. I want to join her in her leadership. I am going forward for the position of Leas Uachtaráin Hinn Féin, for the position of vice president of our party. And I'm going to ask the membership across this island for their support in order to do so.
There are calls for cross-party support to ensure the planned medical school for Derry remains on track. Local councillor Mickey Cooper is to put forward a motion this week calling for Derry City and Strabane District Council to raise the matter with the head of the Department of Health. Concerns over the future of the project were raised following recent claims within the Health Department that the project could be delayed. Councillor Cooper says the medical school is vital for the continued expansion of Ulster University's McGee campus, and the business plan needs to be signed off to allow the first intake of students to be accepted next year.
From our perspective, this is a no-brainer, and it's absolutely vital for the continued expansion of McGee, which has been well documented for the last few years. From our perspective, this is the key building block, and the issue at hand at the moment, obviously, is that the business plan, which has been submitted a number of months back, needs sign-off by the relevant civil servant as soon as possible, because otherwise it'll delay the intake of students for a further year, which is something obviously we don't want.
And there has been much concern over this, so you're now seeking clarity as to what the current situation is.
Well, absolutely. We know what the issue is in terms of the business plan not being signed off. That delays the university's ability. They basically start the recruitment process with the business plan being signed off. It doesn't release funds, and obviously that holds everything up. So for us, they hit the ground running in terms of getting the school launched in time as planned for March next year. We need this to be signed off as soon as possible. So that's basically the logic of the motion. It's very straightforward in that regard, and it's calling on all parties. As you said, they support the demand. From our perspective, there shouldn't be any political difference, whether you're unionist, Republican, or otherwise, in terms of the benefits that the medical school will bring. From our perspective, all parties should be supporting the motion, and hopefully that puts extra pressure on the relevant civil servant to sign off the business plan as soon as possible.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where a massive golf sale is now on.
It's 12 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with GAA and Setanta's All-Ireland Junior Club. Junior Club Hurling Championship semi-final against Ardmore of Waterford has been refixed for Navan this Saturday, the 27th of January at 2 p.m. Sunday's original game was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch at Park Thalson. If the Navan venue is deemed unplayable again this weekend, Abbottstown 4G pitch in Dublin will be the backup. Limerick manager Billy Lee has paid tribute to Johnny McCarthy and Shawnee Buckley, who have both announced their retirement from intercounty football. The Treaty County stalwarts clocked up over 80 championship appearances between them. Buckley captained Limerick to league titles in 2010 and 2013, while McCarthy was an All-Star nominee in 2009. In darts, Donegal County darts player Sean Wilson has won the Irish National Darts Organisation Irish National Singles title. Sean beat Michael Meaney of Kilkenny in the final by 3-2. In winning the tournament, Sean has qualified to play in the British Darts Organisation Winmo World Masters and also the Lakeside World Championship qualifiers. Sean will be going into the upcoming West Coast Challenge and the All-Irelands with the Donegal team in a great vein of form. In soccer news, tributes continue to flood in for England and Blackpool legend Jimmy Armfield, who has died aged 82. As a player, Armfield captained his country 15 times and was a member of the World Cup winning squad of 1966. As a manager, he led Leeds United to European Cup final in the wake of Brian Clough's sacking. And his voice was familiar to many, too many, following years of working with BBC Radio 5 Live. In 1986, Armfield was the man who had to inform Jack Charlton of his appointment as Republic of Ireland manager and wrote the programme notes for his first game. Armfield passed away following a second battle with cancer. The Scottish Football Association is moving on to new targets after Michael O'Neill turned down the national team manager's job. He held talks with the SFA after a successful spell with Northern Ireland, guiding them to the last 16 of the European Championships. Former Scotland midfielder Stuart McCall says he's not surprised O'Neill's staying at Windsor Park.
I thought it'd be hard for Michael to leave the country that you're from, you've played from, you managed, to go to another country. I don't think it comes down to money. I think he's getting paid well enough. I'm sure he'll be getting paid enough money. But I think it would have been a tough one. I couldn't see him doing it, if I'm honest.
Liverpool can move 5 points clear of Tottenham in the race for Champions League football this evening. Jurgen Klopp's side travelled to Swansea looking to post a fifth successive Premier League victory in a row. Kickoff at the Liberty Stadium is at 8. This year's World Cup will be the first to use video replays. FIFA Chief Commercial Officer Philippe Lafloc says VAR will definitely happen in Russia. The system has been trialled at the Confederations Cup and during English Cup competitions this year. In rugby, the Ireland squad for the first two rounds of the Six Nations has seen its first alteration. Munster prop Dave Kilcoyne suffered a knee injury yesterday during the Champions Cup win over Cast at Thomond Park. He's been replaced in the Ireland squad by his provincial teammate James Cronin. The squad left today for a week-long training camp in northern Spain. Meanwhile, Morgan Parra has been ruled out of the France squad for the opening Six Nations clash with Ireland. The recently recalled Clermont scrum half is suffering from a knee injury. Parra has been replaced by Bordeaux scrum half Baptiste Serran. And Bryce Doolan has been ruled out with a calf injury and replaced by Hugo Bonneval. Leinster's Tommy O'Brien will captain the Ireland under-20s for their Six Nations campaign. The centre is one of 11 players in the 32-man squad who have been retained from last season's Six Nations and World Championship outings. Ulster's wait to sign an experienced out-half continues. Former All Blacks Stephen Donald has failed a medical and will not be joining the province. Christian Leilifano's deal ran out yesterday with the defeat to Wasps. Ulster say they will continue to monitor the market. Ospreys have sacked their head coach Steve Tandy after 6 years in charge. He led the Welsh province to a Pro 12 title in 2012, but Ospreys are second bottom of Conference A in the Pro 14 this season and exited the Champions Cup at the weekend. Finally, this evening in sport, we go to tennis. Six-time champion Novak Djokovic suffered a shock fourth-round exit at the Australian Open earlier. The Serb's efforts were curtailed by an elbow injury as he lost to Korea's Hyun Chung in straight sets. Chung will face fellow surprise package Tenny Sandgren in the last eight. The American beat his second-seeded player of the tournament, this time seeing off fifth-seed Dominic Thiem in five sets. There were no such problems for Roger Federer. The defending champion has yet to drop a set, this time seeing off Marton Fucsovics of Hungary in straight sets. Women's top seed Simone Halep needed just 79 minutes to beat Naomi Osaka in straight sets. Halep will take on Karolina Pliskova in the quarterfinals, while Angelique Kerber will face Madison Keys in the quarterfinals following respective wins today over Caroline Garcia and Shea Su Wei. That's your latest sports update. Your next sports update here on Highland will be tomorrow morning, but for now it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. Former Garda Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan says she never considered Maurice McCabe to be malicious and had no reason to challenge his integrity. Ms. O'Sullivan has told the Disclosures Tribunal that there was never any plan to undermine Sergeant McCabe, but that his evidence would have to be tested. As a result, she was faced with an impossible dilemma. Juliet Gash reports.
The Disclosures Tribunal wants to establish if Noreen O'Sullivan relied on inappropriate grounds to discredit Maurice McCabe at the O'Higgins Commission. In her first day of evidence before the tribunal, the former Garda Commissioner wasted no opportunity to demonstrate her support for the Garda whistleblower and said she wanted to set the tone from the top. Asked why she instructed her legal team to attack Maurice McCabe's motivation, Noreen O'Sullivan said she was committed to supporting him, but that his evidence to the O'Higgins inquiry needed to be tested. She referred to these conflicting scenarios as creating an almost impossible dilemma. Ms. O'Sullivan said it was about putting facts before the commission, never about making a case that Sergeant McCabe had bad motivation. Ms. O'Sullivan also told the tribunal that at the time in question, there were serious policing matters related to terrorism and an impending royal visit, meaning she was entrusting the matter to her legal team. Asked about conversations with the Department of Justice, Noreen O'Sullivan said she could only recall alerting them to legal argument over the introduction of motive at the O'Higgins inquiry and said she was not seeking instructions from officials. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
Concern has been raised around roadworks on the M13 after flooding resulted in the road being almost impassable over the weekend. The works located between Stranorler and the Kilross Junction have been creating traffic issues for a number of weeks, with weekend flooding leaving motorists in search of an alternative route. It's reported no diversion signs were put in place. Councillor Ian McGarvey says forward planning should have been initiated to ensure a diversion route was available.
I'm certain sure engineers have to be aware that there is a possibility and forward planning could be made about, we'll say, diverting and advising people and keeping them informed and so on of the necessary steps they would need to take to get from A to B.
The identification of Patrick Hutch at the scene of the Regency Hotel shooting has been described as sullied, tainted and unsatisfactory. Lawyers are debating the admissibility of a photo which was taken at the scene of the killing. Stephanie Grogan has more.
Around the time David Byrne was shot dead at the Regency Hotel, a photo was taken outside of a man dressed as a woman holding a gun. It's the state's case that Patrick Hutch is that man. The 25-year-old of Champions Avenue in Dublin's north inner city has pleaded not guilty. The courts heard two Gardaí identify Patrick Hutch as the man in the photo in question 2 days after the Regency shooting at Ballymun Garda Station. Mr Hutch's barrister has described that identification process as sullied, tainted and unsatisfactory. He told the court it was a dog's dinner and there was a significant lack in fair procedure about how the identification process was recorded and carried out. Earlier, three Gardaí and a Garda liaison officer, who all had dealings with Patrick Hutch, agreed they weren't in a position to identify him as the man in the photo. The case continues in legal argument tomorrow. Stephanie Grogan at the Special Criminal Court.
For weather now, dry this evening apart from an isolated shower in mostly light to moderate west to southwest breezes and lowest temperatures of 4 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, investigations are continuing after a young Donegal woman died in a tragic accident in Thailand. 27-year-old Louise Fury from Glenties had been living on the Channel Islands and was holidaying in Thailand when she died after falling from a hotel balcony on Friday. Sinn Féin Stormont leader Michelle O'Neill has become the first person to declare as a candidate for the deputy leadership of the party. Ms O'Neill and Donegal deputy Pearse Doherty are favourites for the position, although Deputy Doherty has yet to indicate whether or not he will seek the position. It's been claimed that the controversy over the Tory Island ferry could reverse the trend of growth on the island and return Tory to the depopulation of the 1980s. In a statement issued to Highland Radio today, the island's co-op says if the issue isn't resolved by the end of this week, then it will arrange a protest outside the Dáil. And SDLP leader Colm Eastwood will meet the British and Irish governments this week to present a case for the establishment of a North-South structural fund using monies being repaid to the British Exchequer by the Irish government. Ireland borrowed £3.2 billion during economic crisis and is paying back £42 million every 6 months. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 22nd of January. The death has taken place at the Eldersley Care Home, Fulbar Road, Paisley, of Mary Crossan, formerly Mary Doherty, Tromedy Quigley's Point, wife of the late Bernard Crossan, Glasgow. Requiem Mass on Thursday the 1st of February in the Church of Our Lady and St George, Sandwood Road, Glasgow, with burial in St Conville's, Barrhead. The death has occurred at Livered Hospital of Hannah Mullen, 2 Swilly View, Ballymacool, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 12 noon in St. Eunan's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in the family plot at Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Inquiries, please, to Con McDade & Sons, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Pat Murray, Maharahi, Rafoe. His remains will repose at his late residence from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. The death has occurred at Dunloe Community Hospital of Patrick Breen Sharkey, Mulladuff, Anagri. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in Star of the Sea Church, Anagri, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and also private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Dunloe Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Sean Medlin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Nellie Patterson, 3 Main Street, Remelton. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Sweeney Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has taken place of Charlie Doherty, Castle Quarter, Inch Island. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral tomorrow, leaving at 10:15, going to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny Hospital or the Irish Epilepsy Association, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Noreen Fitzgerald, Dick, Church Road, Milford. Her remains will repose at her home until 10 o'clock tonight. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow morning. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Peter's Church, Milford, followed by private cremation on Wednesday. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of McIlwee Funeral Directors, or any family member. The sudden death has occurred at his home of Shane Laverty, 24 Hilltop Crescent, Drumbo, Stranorlar. Shane's remains will repose at his parents Dano and Teresa Laverty, Hilltop, Drumbo, Lower, Stranorlar, from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Stranorlar Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Joseph's Patients Comfort Fund, care of Martin McGowan, McGowan Funeral Home, Drumbo Avenue, Stranorlar, or any family members. The death has occurred at St Joseph's Hospital, Stranorlar, of Brendan Sweeney, Milltown Bridge, Crossroads, Killigordon. Brendan's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family fires only, please. The death has taken place at Archview Nursing Home at Letterkenny of Lily Tinney, Woodlands Rafoe. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30. First service in Ballylennon Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Archview Lodge Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place at Altmagavan Hospital of Annie Mae McGrath, née Faulkner, 356 Lisnefin Park, Strabane, and formerly of Sion Mills. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Cancer Research, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. And the death has taken place of Geraldine McBride, née Brennan, 32, Burrenview Heights, Knocknacarra Road, Salt Hill, Galway, formerly of Ballandrate, Lifford, County Donegal, and Strabane, County Tyrone. Her remains will repose at the family home at 22, Burrenview Heights, Knocknacarra Road, Salt Hill, on Wednesday from 4 o'clock, with prayers at 7 o'clock. Private removal to the Church of Christ the King, Salt Hill, for Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Rahoon Cemetery. House private, please, outside of reposing times. Donations in lieu of flowers to Cancer Care West.